everybody. I'm back. Yes, that's right. I'm back. That was a quick break. And now I want to bring on my second guest. Very, very excited about this because this is a super califragilistic expialidocious super person. Pamela Rice is joining me in the second part of this program. I heard a little giggle by Pamela. She's the author of 101 Reasons Why I'm a Vegetarian, now enjoying its 25th year anniversary. Long known as The Mighty Convincer, 101 Reasons is also available in book form from the wonderful Lantern Books Publishing Company. We love them. Ms. Rice is the publisher of the erstwhile The Viva Vine, and is the organizer of numerous veg events, including the annual Veggie Pride Parade, which we will be talking about a lot today, and post-parade rally expo in New York City, soon to be celebrating on April 2nd, its 10th year anniversary. Pamela also ran the Veggie Center of New York City for 16 years. She's answered a mini mountain of mail and has taken many thousands of phone calls over the years from inquisitive people about the vegan lifestyle. Much of the snail mail she received is now bound up in decorative notebooks. Pamela calls these her ephemera project. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Karen.
You know, I don't know why. I must have thought of this before, but your last name is an appropriate name for a vegan.
I guess it is.
Do you like rice?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've kind of moved to the colorful black and red rices lately.
Absolutely. Well, nothing like takeout. That's how I mostly get my rice, tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, fortunately, where we live, there's a lot of places that offer rice, and more of those fast food takeout Chinese places offer brown rice these days. Yes. So you can make some pretty informed, healthy choices no matter where you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. It's not always the sauce. Speaking of sauces, that's the killer. That's where you got can with takeout, it can be your downfall. So it is better to cook yourself. No question about it. You can keep that fat to a minimum.
Yes. I remember who was it who made recommendations about if you're going to buy takeout from a Chinese restaurant, for example, get the sauce on the side. And then when you come home or you eat it, you don't have to use all of it. You can use a little of it. A little goes a long way.
Take it home.
And use it for a long time. Because,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's not too good. Okay. Well, anyway, Pamela, you are one of the four people instead of forefathers. One of
wow.
the four persons in this vegan movement. You have been there for so long creating these double-sided pieces of paper called the 100 Reasons that ultimately became a book. And you probably have no idea how many people you've reached, or maybe you do have an idea. But
No, I don't. I don't really have any number. There are about 225,000 that were actually printed, ink on paper, and all but about, at this point, about seven cases that I still have left to fulfill orders. All but those all got out there. A lot of people photocopied them.
Exactly, that was going to say.
I wasn't always happy about that. I was happy about that.
Of course you were. People had to spread this information.
I saw a lot of photocopies, to tell you the truth.
Yep.
And then, of course, it's online. It's been online since the 90s. I was lucky enough to run into a couple of people who turned me on to something called the Internet. And they said, you need to get this up online. And I go, all right. Give it away free? Yeah, okay, no problem. Anyway, it's been up there since the mid-90s, so that's a long time, too.
That's a long time. We've been doing this a long time.
All the editions, in fact. You can, I'm looking here on the most recent one. It's the 9th edition. So I would change things up a lot. So you really, it's really more like 1,000 reasons at this point because of all the new reasons that got plugged in. And I, this most recent one is almost completely new. So I actually just throw out old reasons, put in new ones, but it's always 101 reasons.
Okay. Well, you know, people can only digest so much in a small amount of time. It can be overwhelming. But I think the bottom
line...
That's
why these are all in soundbite form.
Yes.
Each one of these are like 90 words, each one. So, and the method, the way I wrote it was... you know, extremely succinct. Not one word is superfluous, because I felt I had to fit a lot on the page. And so, yeah, right to the point.
Yeah, so now we're at 140 character tweets.
I'm not a big tweeter, yeah. But I do it. I do it.
Yes, it's time to tweet.
We have a Twitter for Veggie Pride Parade.
Yes.
So we have about 1,500 people there.
Very good. So, well, I linked to you today in my tweet for this show.
Oh, boy. I will retweet.
Yes, please. Love and retweet. Let's just keep going back at each other. Let's talk about the 10th year anniversary of the Veggie Pride Parade. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, I'm just about as dumbfounded about that fact as anyone.
10 years.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about putting on an event, okay? No one has any idea unless they've done it.
Like you have?
Like I have for 5 years, the Taste of Health at Lincoln Center, which was probably, I don't know, but... At the time, it was probably the largest vegan event anywhere and an amazing thing. And I have no idea how I did it, and I would never want to do it again.
Well, you've got to just the big thing is when you do these things is when somebody says jump, like the city, the parks department, and they need a piece of paper, they need a notarized document, and they need it today, and you just have to get used to dropping everything and doing that one thing. And if you're not prepared to do that, then you better find another occupation.
Yeah, but that's just the beginning. And dealing with the Parks Department is not the easiest thing. I don't know if it's gotten any easier over the years, but...
They tend to add more red tape every single year. If I had kept a diary, I really believe that absolutely every single year they added something. The first year it was underground. It was like they didn't ask for anything. They didn't ask for a bond. They didn't ask for insurance. They didn't ask for anything. And then as years went by, there was always something added. Absolutely.
Okay, so we've got the 10th coming up on April 2nd. And
the Sunday. This Sunday.
Oh, my God, it's Sunday. And how's the weather looking? Because the last few years,
excellent.
The weather has been just chilling.
Yeah, the weather, that's a sore point with me. I mean, it's an outdoor event. And I think a lot of people just didn't get that fact. We're outdoors, and we're outdoors for a reason, because I would say the number one top numero uno reason for the whole event is visibility and viability, the two V's.
I'm with you on that.
And if you want an indoor event, that's fine. You know, have a conference and you can do everything indoors. Unfortunately, you are not visible there. People have to seek you out. They don't happen upon you. So we're at the north end of Union Square Park, which is an extremely well-visited place by people. I mean, there's just many, many people who come through. So they see us, and they see us on the street. And what I have seen over the years is that there are more and more iPhones and Samsung phones pointed at us throughout the parade. I mean, it's the most recent one. It was just a whole bank of people. And those people, let's hope they are posting those videos and those photographs to their own social media.
Well, I think it takes a lot of courage to find out about changing your lifestyle, which includes what you eat, especially as you get older, and to find out the information and and seek it out, it takes courage. So to have an event that is in a public place where you can just casually stroll through, you don't have to make any commitments, just kind of pick up some information, can be very profound.
Well, that's where the viability thing comes
in. That's why I agree it's important to have these outdoor free events.
It's you ask just walk down an avenue in New York and you just grab a person and say, what do you think about veganism or vegetarianism? And they will just, what will come out of their mouth will be, you know, just very typical opinions and platitudes. And they will say that I'd be afraid to become a vegan or a vegetarian, you know, because there's so much propaganda on the other side. So that's where we have to say, you know, another thing that we're showing is our vegan culture, and that we have something behind us, so that people will sit up and listen or sit up and take a look and say, hey, look at all those people over there. They're advocating for a lifestyle that I thought would make me drop dead in 2 weeks if I adopted it. So we're just trying to change the attitudes. It's all can be demoralizing at times when you think about all the propaganda against us.
Yeah, but we're winning and we're growing in numbers, and the vegan word is now firmly planted in mainstream vocabulary in so many ways, and people are finding ways to profit from vegan products, and that's one important way to build the movement, making money from it. So let's talk about who's going to be at the parade, the rally, the expo, who the speakers are, and who's exhibiting, and what can we expect at the event.
Oh, wow. Well, to list it, I'm going to be posting, by the way, the PDF for the program guide probably in a couple days, probably Thursday evening. Mm-hmm. So people can really see everything. We've got you.
Oh,
of course, Karen Hartglass.
Wow.
You're a speaker and an exhibitor with...
I love hearing her speak.
Yeah. I love hearing her speak. She's the best. No question about it.
I'm just looking forward to good weather, because the last few times I talked, I was just bundled up in one of my giant coats. And it'll just be a little liberating if I'm not weighed down by so many layers.
Yeah, that's that old weather thing. Well, you know, we had the Women's March January 21, and nobody said a boo about the weather that day. I mean, it was a pretty nice day.
And I was just at the rally for women's rights in Forest Hills in my neighborhood in Queens on Sunday. It wasn't supposed to rain, and all of a sudden it was raining on us. It was cold. Nobody was dressed right.
Did anybody complain about the weather?
Well, people were mentioning it, but I was fired up. It was and this is the value of this kind of live event, because I was fired up by listening to all of my local leaders speaking and saying what I wanted to hear. And I just felt like, yes, we can.
Yes. Well, we vegans should, you know, to use a bad phrase, perhaps, man up, like up against this weather thing. Because anyway, we need to demonstrate. We need to get out there and be seen. All right. So we've got Vance Lemkuhle.
I love him. Is this his first time at the Veggie Pride Parade?
He's going to be there.
Has he been there before?
No. He's a new guy.
Yeah.
Vegan. He's a food writer and columnist from the Philadelphia Daily News.
He's witty and smart.
I love him.
Yep.
Excellent. And mainstay Karen Davis, who's been there every single year. And we have Marissa Miller Wolfson, who is the writer and director of Educated.
Oh, great.
You bet. And all these are confirmed. Clifton Roberts, who actually lives in California.
Wow.
He was the first ever candidate for president of the United States on the Humane Party.
Wow. Excellent. What is he going to be talking about? Politics?
I don't care. I'm just happy he's there.
That's great.
And Mary Finelli, who I love, is President Fishfield.
And I first discovered her at the Veggie Pride Parade last year. I wouldn't have known about her if she wasn't speaking there.
You know, she really gives a nice talk. She gets right to the point, and she just lays out, you know, the points, and it's just too much truth, you know. It just, you know, her issue is gigantic.
Okay, one of the things that I love about the Veggie Pride Parade is the free samples and some of the food. Now, there are a lot of Parks Department rules, and we can't sell food, and the food thing has to be packaged and prepared.
We can. That's one of the things that changed with the park.
Oh, good. You can sell food.
But but the only one who's going to legally do it is V-Spot. So then there were a lot of people are just going to give out different things, chips and health bars. And in that category, we have Cooley Foods. You probably never heard of them.
No.
But you're going to find out about them. They're a vegan food vendor like you're talking about, where people are discovering that there is money in veganism, and they're going to be a great example of that. They partner with people. They do gooder stuff. You'll see. So we have religious organizations, and then, you know, the big kingpins like Healthy Planet, Bob DiBenedetto, and American Vegan Society, Vegetarian Resource Group, and, of course, United Poultry Concerns with Karen Davis.
So there'll be opportunities to pick up literature, there'll be books and lots of information, and a great place to just go and hang out and either get some food from somewhere and listen to the speakers, because you'll have a space almost like a little theater. It's outdoors, of course, but people can sit and listen. Let's talk about the parade. Where does this start and where do you go?
Oh, yes.
And what do people do during the parade?
Well, we trust everybody that they're going to have a signboard that is on topic.
Uh-huh. Have you ever?
It, for the most part, has worked, save one or two over all these years. It starts. Lineup is at 11 a.m. again, Sunday, April 2. At 9th Avenue and Gansevoort Street.
Where's that?
And that is in the Old Meat District.
Is that near the High Line?
It is. Very nearby.
Yeah, that I remember Gansevoort Street.
Very near the Standard Hotel.
Right.
Which you're familiar with.
Yeah, that's a fun space, actually. The former Meatpacking District.
It is.
It's
so
now a fun spot.
That was a bit of a gimmick to try and get the media to, you know, use that as a hook or a lead to a story. But mainstream media has been very disappointing to us. They came out the first year, 2008, and we more or less haven't seen them since. They saw our signboards and they say, "Wow, this is a very important. These people are serious. These people have important issues." So they skedaddled right out of town.
Yeah,
real fast.
Well, this is a hard sell, as we know, for many people who haven't had the veil lifted.
Don't get me started about the mainstream media.
No, I want to get started. Let's talk about the mainstream media.
Well,
I mean, that's one reason Progressive Radio Network is here, because of the mainstream media. We can't get the truth. We can't get what we need to hear from the mainstream.
Absolutely. They've fallen down on their job, and what's happened is that with the new technologies, just individuals can, you know, they just have to open their eyes and they see things that make sense to them, to us, and we're broadcasting. We're on YouTube or, you know, Twitter and everybody. We're bypassing the mainstream media, and they don't like it. I can see that.
Hey, you know what makes the mainstream media?
What?
Stories like the By Chloe food chain. So Chloe Coscarelli is an adorable chef who was the first vegan to win one of the Food Network shows. She won the vegan cupcake awards. The cupcake wars with vegan cupcakes, and that kind of launched her notoriety. And now she has a chain of vegan food restaurants called
Chloe. Very familiar with it. And like I mentioned when we were speaking before, I know one of the primary financiers of her. And as far as I know, he's not a vegetarian or vegan, but I've had conversations with him, and all he talks about is how unbelievably lucrative and successful that chain is.
Okay.
And that he's opening new places and this and that.
So that's great. So why is it that the major investor or partner in this restaurant chain wanted to add non-vegan foods?
And that's a rhetorical question. I think.
And so she was like in some kind of legal dispute, and recently it was settled and she's out. My Chloe is separated from Chloe Coscarelli, the namesake.
They just cut off their arms and legs.
And that's what the mainstream media reports. The bad news.
Well,
yeah. Anyway, we like to talk about the good things. So I'm sure Chloe will be doing many wonderful things. And the good news is there are many vegan investors or people who want to invest in vegan businesses because they know it's a good thing and they know they can profit from it. And there are a number of organizations now, the Good Food Institute that's supported by Mercy for Animals, and a few other angel investing businesses that support vegan businesses. And I'm sure they'll help her out.
Absolutely. And, of course, there's always the mainstays right here in New York City. People who have, I'm sure you have your list, but restaurants that have supported my work over the years, Candle Cafe and Hungawi and Franchea and Peace Foods. These are the top three I come to my mind immediately. They are all successful in their own right as vegan restaurants, and they believe in that. No one could buy them out ever.
Were fortunate in starting a business that they had control of.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that you mentioned have been very generous. You know, you reminded me, and I just want to mention this because I promised I would. One of the vegan restaurants that's been around for about 40 years, mm-hmm. Angelica Kitchen, is ending.
And that's because of Hurricane Sandy. I think they never got over that.
Oh, right. They were down in the East Village and just have been having a difficult time.
That's a super shame.
And they were there when nobody else was. But they have a GoFundMe campaign right now. I just wanted to mention it for those of you who are familiar with Angelica Kitchen. They have a lot of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to help them out, go to GoFundMe.com/AngelicaKitchen and find out about that GoFundMe campaign.
I'm gonna do something for them. I will. Speaking of Angelica, right next door is I don't know if you can put a word "very" in front of it, but they are a traditional Italian restaurant called John's, right next to Angelica. And they saw Angelica, and they decided to put a vegan menu side by side with their regular one. So it's one of my favorite places.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And in fact, all the volunteers and all the people with Veggie Pride Parade always go there afterwards. So you need to come because
that's where everybody goes. We go to Peace Food, but maybe we'll try John's. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'd be amazed. Mm-hmm. They have a whole menu that is just mirrors their regular one, but all the food is just simply vegan. And anybody can order from that one anytime.
Okay, that's really good news. Pamela, bravo,
yes!
Bravo. You've done it. You've spoken to me for about a half hour, and you're on Skype, right?
I am.
Well,
I just downloaded today. Shame on me. I should long ago have been
doing this.
Welcome
to the 21st century. Okay, now there's nothing stopping you.
Not at all. I would like to mention how awesome the Veggie Pride Parade is, and the moment that we make a lot of noise through the streets, and we are escorted by a crew of the NYPD, the city's finest, right, on little motorcycles.
Oh, that's sweet.
We are 100% legal. And when we come into the park, it is truly exhilarating. And everybody is
yes,
feeling...
Yes, it is. Are you going to have that Chinatown dinosaur dancing for us?
I haven't heard, no.
Oh, it's not a dinosaur. It's a dragon.
They may show up. Haven't heard anything this year.
Okay. Well, Pamela, thank you for joining me. We're almost out of time.
Welcome.
People find you at... Veggie Pride
Parade. VeggiePrideParade.org.
VeggiePrideParade.org.
It's real easy, and there's all the buttons there, all the information right there.
Okay, I hope you get some rest. I know it's going to be a lot of work on Sunday, so get, energized up. I know you know how to do this, and I'll see you Sunday.
I can't wait.
Okay,
take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was the wonderful Pamela Rice, the author of 101 Reasons Why I'm a Vegetarian and the founder and creator of the Veggie Pride Parade here in Manhattan. And I'm Karen Hartglass, and you've been listening to It's All About Food, and you can find me at responsibleeatingandliving.com and email me at info@realmeals.org. And I really would like to hear from you at info@realmeals.org. And I have one last request before I go, and that is if you like this show, you can do a number of things. One is you could let me know, because it's always nice to know, at info@realmeals.org. Tell me what you like. And share it. Rate us on iTunes and let people know about this program, because I think there's a lot that will be beneficial to everyone. Okay, that's your assignment. And I'll talk to you real soon. Right now, have a delicious week. Bye-bye.